Christ is risen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. 10 days they huddled together in prayer. 10 days they did what the Lord told them to do. Wait. Wait. Wait for what? The arrival of the Advocate, the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Friend, the Spirit of Truth. That's what he said. He said he would send them power. They waited together, having seen together the risen Jesus ascend up into the clouds and then just disappear in the same way that he had just appeared after they knew he was dead. How long should they wait? He didn't say. And then it began, that sound. It was the morning of Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover during the Festival of Weeks, when Jerusalem was packed with Jews from all over the Mediterranean and beyond. That sound was so deep that hearts pounded and things began to shake, and yet it wasn't an earthquake exactly, and it wasn't thunder or a sandstorm. And yet there was clearly wind. A crowd drawn by that sound, like a magnet, gathered to see and hear what was going on. That sound surrounded the disciples, and wind blew through that upstairs room, and it got hot. And there were shards of color that looked like tongues of fire, flames of red and orange. And as they stood there, their mouths agape, the flames ignited their tongues, but it didn't burn, and it didn't hurt. A surge of energy coursed through each of them, sending them downstairs into the plaza, each speaking at the same time with sounds they had never made before. And they just naturally fanned out, sound pouring out of their mouths. And as the crowd watched, that sound that had brought them there in the first place subsided, and each heard in his own language, as clear as could be, the message. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified and died. Then God raised him from the dead. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ, and he has ascended into heaven. We saw it. The scriptures have been fulfilled. This is real, Peter says. And we all saw it, and so did many of you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, sent by Christ in a surge of wind, sound, and fire that did not harm or destroy or tear down buildings or topple trees. This was not weather. This was something else. Scholars call this the birth of the church. Not the buildings, of course, but the power of the Holy Spirit sent by Christ to fill the hearts of the messengers of the good news. John the Baptist has said, "I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire." Baptism is at the very center of our faith. Many of you, probably like me, were baptized in a private ceremony at a font in the corner or side chapel of the church, probably on a Saturday morning, with the family, godparents, and priests. And the point was to wash away the sins of the infant. The original sin the child was said to be born with, to keep that infant from going to hell if he or she should die before being baptized. Now, of course, there was joy to see a child now part of the Christian tradition and brought into the Christian faith. But baptism was, for many, and maybe still is, an insurance policy for that child, and something good parents did. Now, historically, this belief has been debated for centuries, and thoughts about baptism have been one of the defining characteristics of various denominations. But in the Episcopal Church, baptism retained the traditions inherited from medieval Catholicism. Now, the church argued about lots of other things, but not baptism. Well over 60 years ago, that thinking was challenged. And as more documents from the early church were discovered, and as scholars unraveled the sources and assumptions that created that insurance policy need for baptism, and as the inclusion into scholarly ranks now included women and more culturally diverse people, old questions were rightly and necessarily asked. Is that the God of our understanding? Do we believe that God will send to hell a baby that didn't get baptized? Does that appear anywhere in the life of Jesus depicted in the Bible? Does that appear anywhere in the writings of the early church? No. And so the theology around baptism began to change as scripture, early writings, and traditions were re-examined. God doesn't change. But theology does. It is a living thing with new contexts and new understandings. Baptism was moved to center stage. The theology evolved to see the centrality of baptism, because that's what Jesus did, because that's where transformation begins, because that is what the disciples did, and how the early church prepared and transformed believers. Baptism made sacred the water and the light of Christ. And in the sacrament of baptism, we ritually die with Christ in the water and rise again to new life. And we are sealed as God's own forever into a community, into the body of Christ, into the church. Now, baptismal fonts were brought out of the corner and placed smack dab in the middle of the congregation. And the ceremony was placed smack dab in the middle of the Sunday service. This is one of the biggest changes from that old prayer book to the one we use today. It is fundamentally different theologically. It is a fundamental difference in how we understand who God is and who we are in relationship with God. Some churches now even place the baptismal font in the center aisle or at the entrance, so that actually you have to walk through your baptism into the church. Others have a portable setup so that baptisms can take place in full view of the congregation, and that's what we're doing today. And as soon as I stop flooding you with what I believe so passionately about baptism, we will actually gather around that table on the rug, and we will welcome Baron Bradley Bredesen into the family of God, into our family here at St. Francis. Each time we baptize someone in this church, we renew our own baptismal vows, or the vows that were made on our behalf as infants. And baptisms are indeed joyous occasions. But that joy grows out of the seriousness with which we are asked questions. as we renew our promises to God. Listen carefully today to the 6 ancient questions asked of the parents and the godparents. The first 3 are about striving for good in the midst of evil and destructive forces. And the second 3 are about depending on, loving, and following Jesus Christ. Ask yourself these questions. Pay attention to the promises we make to work for justice and peace and to respect the dignity of every human being. And then check in with yourself and see how you're doing in that regard. And then be sure to affirm loudly that you will do all in your power to support Barron and his family in their life in Christ. Now, it's important to say that baptism does not make us better than others who are not baptized. It is not a dividing line between us and them, nor does it confer some special status. In many ways, baptism carries with it responsibilities that, when taken seriously, make some things more difficult and cause us to ask hard questions and make tough decisions. The disciples' baptism by fire on Pentecost and Barron's baptism by water and the Spirit today harness an energy that changes us all, whether we know it or not. And we can't go back. We can't undo what was said or what was blessed or what was given. Baptism is not a protection from our past. It is instead our fuel for the future. Eyes front, facing forward, onward to new life. And baptism, I think, is the perfect symbol for this parish and the journey you are on. Change is the road you are on, and you will discover what you carry with you and what you leave behind. You will ask, where is the Holy Spirit leading us? You will discern this together. You will ask if the words you say and the things you do in church reflect the God you believe in and love. And you will listen. You will listen to the languages of one another that may be very different from your own. And you will listen deeply to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus is even arrested, in the farewell discourse we heard in John's Gospel today, Jesus tells his fearful disciples, who are filled with sorrow, that after he is gone, he will send the Advocate to guide them in all the truth. May you trust that. May you trust the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. May you feel that Spirit roiling in the waters of baptism for Barron and filling you and guiding you in this community of faith. Christ is risen. Come, Holy Spirit.